Stream us on the official ESPN 97.5 app. Presented by Sawgrass Steakhouse. KFNC on Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios, this is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
So you know, the Rockets, it's the summer of LeBron, and everything is going to be LeBron. Hey, somebody saw LeBron walking in a town. He must be trying to stay there. I saw Gloria James at the airport. Where is she going? We know this is going to be all summer until he finally makes a move. So let's take a look at it from another perspective, which is all the talk for a year now has been about, can the Rockets find a taker for Ryan Anderson?
Wait, didn't you hear? LeBron James Jr. liked a picture about Space Center Houston.
What? Oh, they must be coming here because he liked the picture. Breaking news! A picture was liked on social media.
His dad may not like Houston, but he liked a picture about Houston.
Yeah, his dad may, you know, allegedly not like Houston because somebody claims that they heard him say that. Somebody claims. I wonder how many of the things he said that somebody claims. You don't make somebody decide, well, maybe I don't know if I like that place. All right, yeah, you know what? Maybe I do. You know what? You know how that gets fixed? Chance to win. But for a year, the talk has been, well, how do they get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract? What do they have to do to move on from Ryan Anderson? Well, if you're a Rockets fan and you want LeBron James, this is the truth. You're not getting rid of him. Not because, you know, there's no team out there that will ever take that deal. Because you know what? We've seen enough deals in the NBA to know that you can never make that statement. Joe Johnson once had the most untradeable contract in the history of basketball while he was playing with the Atlanta Hawks and got traded to the Nets. If that deal could happen, any deal can happen. So it's not a matter of, you know, a team like Sacramento or a team like Atlanta or a team like maybe Chicago. That you couldn't say, okay, well, we'll give you Ryan Anderson and a draft pick. We'll give you Ryan Anderson and two first-round picks to take that contract. It's not a great deal, and it's a very expensive way. I mean, $20 million a pick, that's pretty expensive to sell low-end draft picks. And they're low-end because they're going to be, you know, towards the end of the first round. And this year's pick was the last pick in the first round. So, yeah, it's a very long shot to be able to deal him. But let's say you had a deal where it could be done. What are you trading to get LeBron? Because you're going to need some first-round picks, and, well, now you're not going to have any. So unless you're convincing the Cavaliers to somehow only take one pick in the package that you would put together for LeBron James, which would include, because look, they don't want Ryan Anderson, so it would include Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker and Nene and Onunwa and Joe Chi. if you think they're only going to take one first round pick, if by some reason they give you this gift, okay, we'll only take one pick. There's no way Ryan Anderson can be moved. Because the idea is somebody's just going to be like, hey, you know what? I know Ryan Anderson's got 2 years and $41 million, but sure, we'll take him off your hands. We'll help you shed that albatross. Even if they could, wouldn't matter. Because shedding Anderson's contract, once you re-up Chris Paul, you're not under the cap. So the idea, there's no advantage to it other than, well, you know, they can then allocate that money to somebody else. That's why I think the best way to get rid of Ryan Anderson is to swap him out for another. You're basically trading your headache contract for somebody else's headache contract. Ryan Anderson, you know what? If you want LeBron James, Ryan Anderson's going to stay a Rocket. And you're just going to have to deal with the fact that Ryan Anderson's going to stay a Rocket. Now, maybe that works out better if you're, you know, you've got Harden, Paul, and LeBron all on the floor. He gives you a shooter that you can put out in the corner. And then you have Capella, you know, helping you protect the rim and doing your pick and roll and whatnot. You know, the responsibilities on Ryan Anderson are certainly lessened because, well, you got LeBron James. But realistically, there's no way to move Ryan Anderson without removing the assets that you need if you're going to pull off a trade for LeBron. And if you wanted to pull off a trade for Paul George, you know, have George opt in and pull off the deal, you'd need the same picks that you'd be shipping off to get somebody to take Ryan Anderson. So if you're a Rocket fan and you're a Bull, can somebody, is there any way to move Ryan Anderson? If you want to be better next year, the answer is no. You know, and Atlanta's got cap space, but, you know, they're cheap. And Sacramento has cap space, but why does Sacramento want to help create another super team in the Western Conference? That's why when somebody brought up to me the idea that, you know, the Lakers could dump Lou Alding on Sacramento and, you know, give them, you know, draft picks. I'm like, why does Sacramento want to help the Lakers become another super team in their own division? They already have Golden State in their division. Why do they then want to have Golden State and a super team Lakers in their division? Sacramento hates the damn Lakers. Like, that made no sense to me at all. Like, oh, well, bad teams are just going to make bad team decisions so they stay bad teams forever. Eventually that changes. You know, Chicago might have some cap space depending on, you know, I mean, I would expect they're going to re-sign Zach LaVine. I would expect they're going to re-sign Noah Vonley. So once they figure out what those guys are going to make, maybe they've got some cap space. You know, they've got, I think, 40-some-odd million dollars of cap space right now, but you still got to put those two guys in. They're both going to get raises. So how much are they going to wind up getting in their next deal, determine how much cap space Chicago actually has? But if you have no first rounders to trade for LeBron and you don't have the cap space to sign him outright, you're not getting rid of Ryan Anderson. So just, if you're a Rocket fan, I'm sorry, you're going to have to lose Eric Gordon. You're going to have to lose PJ Tucker if you want to get LeBron. Ryan Anderson's going to be a member of this team because realistically, there's no way to get rid of him and then pull off an additional trade to get the guy you really want. And I don't think it's any different. You know, if you're talking about, you know, Philadelphia, why does Philadelphia want to give up all those assets? You know, Philadelphia's trying to be able to just sign LeBron outright. They don't want to have to give anything up. If you've got a team full of young guys, why do you want to give up some of those young guys? That's the whole purpose of bringing LeBron in, isn't it? Isn't that the same deal with the Lakers, whose young talent isn't even as good as Philadelphia's? You know, but if you're the Lakers, it's like, well, we want to bring in, you know, stars to play with our young guys so we can have a good team for several years. Well, if you're bringing the stars in and you've got to send the young guys out, well, who the hell's on the team? And that's why, to me, it'll always make more sense if the the bottom line is winning, then the answer is Houston. But that's if the bottom line is winning. This is Late Hits.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. And Victor, the point of that wasn't to compare Joe Johnson and Ryan Anderson as players. It's to talk about the fact that Joe Johnson once had what was considered to be the most untradeable contract in the history of the NBA. And what is the issue with Ryan Anderson, his giant contract? It's not about comparing them as players. I mean, this is back then, you know, Joe Johnson was still a really good player back then. Ryan Anderson is a complimentary piece who's just getting paid like a really good player. But Johnson's contract was so onerous. It was considered to be the unmovable deal. But it moved. So it's to say that, you know, a deal 100% can't be done, of course, that's just not feasible. It's not true. A deal can always get done if somebody's dumb enough. The Nets were dumb enough. I don't know that right now, considering how few teams have a lot of cap space, that anybody would be dumb enough, because the cap's been flat for a couple of years. It's going to be flat again this year. So understand the comparison is for contract purposes, not player purposes. John is on the line, wants to talk about LeBron James. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I just want to know what you think about this, man. You know, one team that we can maybe trade with is the Suns. They have interest in, you know, and this is probably unpopular to a lot of people. They have interest in Capella. We can package Capella and Ryan Anderson and maybe get something from the Suns, maybe get one of their centers, Alex Lynn. I'm pretty sure they can take on some cap or some salary. And then maybe sign LeBron. I don't know. What do you think about that?
All right. Well, Capella right now is, I mean, they got a cap hold on him. And Ryan Anderson's $20 million. So the Suns, their current cap situation is they have approximately $21 million of cap space. But that doesn't include the guys they have holds on. Now, the guys they have holds on, Alex Len is one of them. And Elfrid Payton's the other. Those two guys have cap holds of Payton's about $10 million and Len's about $8 million. So you want to trade Capella and Ryan Anderson to the Suns, which you'd have to sign Capella because Capella's not signed. So then you're talking about a sign and trade. I mean, if you talk about sign and trade, you got to worry about the hard cap. Now, which for the Suns really shouldn't be that big a deal because I don't know what their plans are. I don't know if they're somebody that they're targeting. But that deal would completely eliminate any flexibility the Suns have. And as far as the Rockets go, it's still not going to give you enough money to sign LeBron because you got to sign Chris Paul. So you won't have the money. There's not enough money altogether. In order to be able to sign Paul and LeBron straight out, just straight up sign, you need $71 million of cap space, which is pretty much unfeasible. So, I mean, if you get somebody to take Ryan Anderson, like I said, I think it'd be nice, but it's probably not going to happen because of his contract. And, you know, they want Capella, you know, but are they going to draft DeAndre Ayton number one? So there's some workable things in there that are just, there's some variance in there that I don't know that they work. Is he still there? Is he gone?
Yeah, for, you know.
Hey, there you are. Thought you were gone. John.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy. I couldn't hear you before, so I was like, hey, is John still there? Mm-hmm. But that looks like what the situation is. Like I said, they've got $21 million once they re-up with Len. Because Len's not under contract and Capella's not under contract. They both have to be signed.
I'm not saying Len. I mean, it could be anybody else. You know, any one of their bigs. They have, a few bigs that they can, you know, let go of, you know, failed experiments, whatnot.
Their bigs would be Tyson Chandler, who's 35 years old.
Right.
And making about $14
million. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not going to trade Dragan Bender. He's on a rookie contract, 20 years old.
Right.
You know, what else you got? Alan Williams, Marcus Chris. Right. Yeah, these guys aren't making you any better. And if you're trading out that much, I mean, like I said, you got to sign Capella and then deal him. So, if you're the Suns, why do I want to give up something to get him? I just want to see if I can just steal him from you.
I mean, well, he's a restricted free agent, so, you know, we have the right to match their offer.
Oh, they absolutely do. And they have his bird rights, so they can sign him to whatever. Like, they're good. Nobody can sign him to more money than the Rockets can. You know, if the Rockets make the move, let's say the Rockets, you know, re-up Chris Paul, and they make the move for LeBron. They could still sign Capella, but they're going to be way over the tax.
Yeah, they're going to be tight. And then, you know, I don't know if, you know, Petita wants to pay all his luxury tax.
Well, I don't think he's got an issue with it.
Right.
I don't think he has an issue with paying the tax. But when you're a billionaire, you know, what's a few hundred million that you're just going to – look, the bottom line, though, is if they pull off the deal for LeBron, all right, ticket prices are going up. If they then re-sign Capella on top of that, ticket prices are going up, parking's going up, concessions are going up, everything's going up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last year the Rockets' average ticket price was $88. Last year, the Warriors' average ticket price was $240.
Big difference.
Big difference. And you know what? You bring LeBron onto this team, it's not going to be such a big difference next year.
I mean, that's my hopes and dreams. You know, I don't know about the others, but for me, I think we have to sacrifice Capella to get LeBron. You know, that's just how I see it. The Warriors have their big four, three. I don't know. They don't really use their center, you know.
Well, the thing is, you don't actually have to sacrifice him. It's a matter of, LeBron's got to choose where he wants to go, number one. And then if he chooses Houston, you know, can you put the deal together with Gordon and Tucker, who are guys that Cleveland could turn around and flip for picks, mid-season.
Okay.
You know, and then you got the two young bigs in Chi and Anunoby, who, look, they're young, they're cheap, and they can develop them. And then there's probably two first-round picks involved.
Yeah, that's the scenario everybody's talking about, but I don't see that happening, you know, to be honest. Because P.J. Tucker, you know, I don't know. And Eric Gordon, I don't think that's that's not going to sway anything, you know.
Well, again, the it's not, you're not looking at them as players. You're looking at them as tradable assets.
Okay.
These are guys who contending teams will be interested in at the deadline, where they flip them for another first-round pick. They'll be able to flip Eric Gordon for a pick at the deadline. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to flip P.J. Tucker for a pick at the deadline, and that's how you're looking. It's not, oh, well, this is the talent we're getting. It's the ability to create four first-round picks out of a deal.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, because it's again, it's the they don't have a ton of bargaining power. Because if, you know, it's okay, well, you can get X from Houston, or you can get nothing if he walks to L.A. or he walks to Philadelphia.
Right.
So that's the incentive for Cleveland to make a deal with Houston, is you actually get back some kind of asset that will help you in your rebuild. Once LeBron is gone, look, they're in full rebuild mode. Kevin Love's going to be out of there too.
Oh, yeah.
So if you trade LeBron to Houston and you get two picks, two young bigs, and then two more players that could turn into picks. Now you got four picks. You flip, you know, when they deal Kevin Love, you're going to have one, maybe two more first round picks. So you create a stockpile of picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, similar to what Boston. Well, remember, it's what Boston did. They stockpiled picks.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
All right, and then they had all those young players, and then they added Gordon Hayward, and then they added Kyrie Irving. Now those guys got hurt, but you got to see the baby Celtics kind of grow up in the postseason. And look, if it's not for LeBron, you know, look how far they got. They shouldn't have gotten that far.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
yeah, there's some geniuses, though.
Now, next year, when you add Kyrie and Hayward back to that team looks like it's going to be a beast.
That's what I'm. So LeBron doesn't want to go to Boston? I mean, if he goes to Boston, they're for sure in contention for the best team in the league.
Well, how are they getting them?
They have so many assets. I mean,
they got to trade
anyway.
There's money. They got to trade.
Does Kyrie want him in Boston?
Well, Kyrie said he'll just let the front office do whatever the front office does as far as personnel goes. But the Celtics are already over the cap, and that doesn't include they still got to re-up Marcus Smart. And whether or not they decide to re-up Aaron Baines or not, but they're going to re-up Marcus Smart. They're already $6.5 million over the cap. Then they got to re-up him, which means in order to get LeBron, you've got to trade, and you've got to be 25% of money going in and out.
Yeah.
So it'd be pretty difficult for them to make it work.
I don't mean to take up so much of your time, man, but I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem, John. Have a good night, buddy.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
You know, that's what makes it hard for Cleveland, for Boston, is how does Boston make the money work? You know, does it make sense to package up like every young player you have? You know, you got to ship Kyrie back? how crazy would that be? They ship Kyrie back to Cleveland plus, you know, like two more players because you got to make the money work. Kyrie and two more players to Boston for LeBron. Like, this doesn't make any sense. What good is having Kyrie? The rest of the team stinks.
Don't tell me the NBA isn't the best sport if that happens.
Dude, it's the NBA is just like National Drama Association. But this is what we get into. Slate Hits.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Jose got some mo' money, mo' problems. That's what happens when you're a big pimpin' producer. Sporting is, dude, is that like a members only jacket? What is that? What are you wearing? Why are you wearing a coat? I thought only Hollywood wore coats inside. What are you wearing?
It's just a bomber jacket. It's no big deal.
Is that a members only jacket?
No, it's not. It's not.
What is that?
It's a jacket. What? I'm here. It gets really cold overnights, so I have to have a little comfortable jacket with me.
All right.
Which is nice, because the AC's finally fixed, thankfully.
In the other room?
Yeah.
Are you for real? It wasn't yesterday.
It was fine for me.
For you. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jose is like the hardest working dude in this company. He starts this show at 7, and he doesn't finish on the network until 5 a.m. This dude is working 10-hour days, and that's just, you know, in the studio. That doesn't count all the stuff you do before you get in the studio, and it doesn't count all the stuff you do when the shows end. That's just physically in studio 10 hours a day. Works like a boss. And that's why we're doing the whole Find Jose a Bay thing. And it looks like we may have found you a bay.
I won't have time to see her anymore, but that'd be nice.
We may have found you a bay. And we're working on some deals and some details to give you guys the perfect night out. So I have some more details on that as soon as I can. Actually, I got to call Eric tomorrow. He had some ideas. I actually got to call Hollywood tomorrow too.
He's gonna get me a nice jacket.
They're
much like this one.
They're working with me to make this all happen, so that we can find Jose Bay. And have you guys have a really nice night out. And then come in on Monday morning and tell us all about it. Well, Monday evening.
There's the end game.
Come in on Monday evening and tell us
sure,
all about
Jose,
it.
Jose, you'll have a good time with a cute girl. But come on air and talk about it and talk about, so she can talk about how much you embarrassed yourself.
But why,
there's the end game.
But wait. Why are you saying that you would have embarrassed yourself?
Just hypothetically. Maybe she'll embarrass herself.
Why would you think negatively? Why wouldn't you talk about how awesome a time you had?
You're acting like my therapist. Stop it, Patrick.
Why weren't you talking about how awesome time you had? You really like talking with each other, and you're really excited to see her again, and she's excited to see you again. Why are we not thinking positively? And why do you have a therapist? You're 24.
It happens.
What do you tell your therapist about? How do those conversations go? Oh, look, the intern showed up.
Only an hour late.
Hour and 40 minutes. So what do you tell your therapist about?
I tell her about the show and how you and Matt belittle me.
When do you have time? Well, A, that's not true.
Yeah.
And B, when the hell do you have time to see a therapist?
I don't.
Is it like web therapy?
That would be really convenient.
You know, you just put a little camera on and you pretend that you're laying on a couch and you just start spouting your stuff off. A little web
therapy.
That'd
be convenient.
Hello, this is Dr. Creighton. How can I help you today? Why, I am sorry that you've bitten your entire finger off while biting your nails. What I would tell you is stop being a dumbass. Go stand in the corner, face the wall, and think about your life.
My husband's so mean to me. What should I do?
Take all his credit cards and go shopping. Then claim you have no idea what happened.
Wait, I have a husband? What are you doing? That's not cool.
I did not give you a husband.
Sounded like you did.
No, I was giving a hypothetical. I wasn't giving a Jose hypothetical. Why, do you want a husband? I mean, there's nothing.
Absolutely not.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's perfectly acceptable in today's day and age.
No, I'm good.
You know,
I'm interested in women.
We love and accept everyone. We're all God's creatures. Wow, I just dropped a God reference.
Maybe you need the therapist.
Totally off the rails. So how long have you been going to therapy? Oh, it just started like 2 weeks ago?
No, it's been a little bit longer than that.
Been a little bit longer than that?
Yeah.
Did you have to go like make new appointments now that you work 7 to 5 every day?
That hasn't come up yet, but it will.
Hasn't come up yet.
It's not a weekly thing. I can't afford a weekly thing. What do you think? What do you think I am?
You're a big pimping producer. That's what you are. I mean, you're making so much money. You walk around in there in a bomber jacket.
Yeah, that I got on Black Friday for like $20.
Whatever. That just means you're smart with your money. It doesn't mean you don't have it.
I'm smart because I don't have it. Otherwise, we'd be talking.
Didn't you just drop $250 on sneakers?
Man, I don't know what you're talking about.
On blue sneakers.
I did it for the article, which I get paid substantially less than what the shoes cost.
Wait a second. So you spent $250 on a pair of sneakers, but you can ball out for that, but you're broke and you can only afford $20 on Black Friday for a jacket.
Yeah.
Those are some lies.
It's funny because it's true. I am that way. I don't think I'd ever spend more than $300 on shoes, but I'll spend a lot of money on shoes, but I hesitate to spend more than like $20 on a t-shirt, more than like $40 on a shirt. Like I hesitate a lot, but shoes, it doesn't matter. I'll just spend the money on it if I like them enough.
So you have a shoe habit.
Oh yeah. You didn't read my article. That's disappointing.
I did read your article.
Grayson read it.
I'm surprised that you have a shoe habit. I did read that you like shoes. I just didn't know you had like a shoe habit.
Yeah, I've kind of been collecting sneakers since I was in, well, I wouldn't really call it collecting then because I had like 2 pairs at a time and I would destroy them. But I seriously started collecting them in like junior year of high school.
So you have a collection of sneakers.
Oh yeah, I have a bunch of shoes.
Have you ever worn them?
Yeah, I wear all of them. Otherwise, they're just.
Do you wear them often or like, you know, are they like special occasion sneakers?
Not really. It sort of depends. I'll go through phases where I'll wear a shoe like 3 times a week and then I won't wear it again for months. Or it just depends.
How many pairs of sneakers do you have?
Too many. Too many to name.
I mean, I thought I had a lot of sneakers because I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 7 pairs of sneakers.
That's nothing.
I have 7 pairs of sneakers. No, they're not all the same brand. I have 7 pairs of sneakers, and each pair serves like a specific purpose. Like some I only wear with certain color clothes. Some I wear like particularly wear a certain kind in the rain because they're like my ones I don't want to get. I don't care if they get ruined. I have another one like if I'm working out in the yard, I have a pair of sneakers. I don't care if they get dirty or whatnot. And then I have like a dress pair of sneakers. I have 7 pairs of sneakers. That is the most sneakers I've ever owned at any one time in my life.
Look at you balling out.
Yeah, I wouldn't say balling out because I didn't pay more than $40 for any of those sneakers. Out of them, I want to say, I have 8 pairs of sneakers because I have the Currys.
You do have the Currys.
I have the Currys.
How are those Currys treating you?
I'm having a little trouble stretching them out for the side for my foot. They're a little tight in the toe area. I'm trying to stretch them out, but I mean I like them. I got them online for $41.
Look at you.
That was why I bought them. They were $41. I didn't even know they were Currys until Joel Blank saw me wearing them and said, "Oh, I see you're rocking the Currys." And I went, "What?" And he just pointed down. He says, "The Currys." And I go, oh, "Okay." I just bought them because they were gray. I wanted a pair of gray sneakers. That was it. You know, I have a pair of black Nikes that I'm wearing right now.
What do you got?
Black Nike, all black Nike, leather, $39.99 on sale. That's how it gets done. $250, dude. I'd be divorced. $250.
Good thing I'm not married.
All right, wrap it up next.
You're listening. listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know, as long as we're pitching out crazy trade ideas, just give me your craziest trade. All right, here's the catch to it. I want it to be a trade that would work within the salary cap. So, you know, you got to make the salary relatively match. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that would actually happen, but just something that feasibly could happen. Because this to me would be the ultimate, like, bleep you trade. You know, we always talk about, oh, well, how will LeBron's legacy be affected if he leaves the Cavaliers to go to another team to try to challenge the Warriors? Well, the reason that we're talking about that is because Kevin Durant, who was once up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals over the Golden State Warriors, then played like poop for three games and blew the series, then went and signed with the team that beat him. And there's a lot of this conjecture of, oh, well, KD now is the best player in basketball. It's not LeBron. Now it's KD. How about the Warriors re-sign Kevin Durant and then trade him to Cleveland for LeBron? Do you think the Warriors would be, do you think the Cavaliers would be better or worse if Durant replaced LeBron in the lineup?
Worse. LeBron's the best player in the league.
How much worse would they be? Would they be like 48 wins? Would they be like 44 wins?
I don't know if they'd be that bad, but I feel like LeBron is the type of player who's going to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep situations. I don't think Durant is that guy. So
on the Warriors, would that, you know, take away their boredom so they'd actually like go try and get 74 wins?
They'd probably 74. That's nothing. We gotta go at least 80.
Just 80. 80 and two. No.
That's 80 minimum.
But
if, like, you win less than 80 games, consider your season a failure.
If they get LeBron, do they then try to break their own win record?
They have to. No excuses.
Like, they're not just in, like, all right, well, we'll just coast to like 60 some odd wins and then like kill everybody in the playoffs.
What if, like, Adam Silver was like, all right, if you don't win all 82 games, we're dismantling the whole team. Every single one of you will be on a different team next year.
No, they're gonna have a disbursement draft.
Yeah.
A lottery for the disbursement draft. We're sorry, Brooklyn. The only guy you can have is, you know, PJ McCaw. That'd be funny. But like, how big of a bleep you to Kevin Durant?
Oh, that'd be huge.
That'd be the ultimate, hey, Kevin, you can kiss all our asses.
It's the ultimate rebound. You got what you wanted out of the person, and that's it.
It's like, you used us for two rings, now we're getting rid of you. Go earn your own.
Pretty much.
That would be just the drama that would surround that would be hilarious. Like, can you imagine the media field day with Durant for LeBron? Can you imagine how many burner accounts Kevin Durant would suddenly come up with to talk about how KD got screwed? How many of them will tweet at me? I got him to tweet at me with one of his burner accounts. That was hilarious. You think you have power over me, but you don't. Dude, you're responding. Clearly I do. I always thought that was just completely hilarious. All right, well, we're closing up here towards the end of the show. Let's try to get some Texans in. Deshaun Watson spoke to the media talked to everybody, wanted to know how his knee was doing. Well, here's Deshaun Watson.
The knee is doing good. Able to do some things, you know, on the field with the team. Physically wise, for the 9-week goal that we put in from the beginning, I'm pretty much where I wanted to be. Kind of past it, you know, inside on in the weight room, mentally, and also on the field. So everything's going smoothly right now.
Everything is going smoothly right now, and that is good because the entire season for the Houston Texans is on the shoulders of number four. That is the one and only guy that they absolutely positively cannot lose is number four. Otherwise, it's pretty much doom. And would it surprise you if I said that the Texans have probably one of the three worst offensive lines in football? At least, you know, until proven otherwise.
Not at all. Why would it surprise me?
I'm just not feeling what they've done. I'm not a fan with what they've done. I wish they would have done more. The guy who should be on their team is currently on my Giants. I'm very grateful that he's on my Giants, but the Texans really needed to get Nate Solder. And don't cry at me about money. They got $29 million of cap space they haven't even touched yet. Money was never the issue. I don't care. Look, the money doesn't even matter. Think about the giant contract that J.J. Watt signed. He's only if they cut J.J. Watt today, they take a $6 million cap hit. That's it. All that guaranteed money is all used up in the first 2 years, three max. So if you sign Nate Solder to a four-year deal and the first 2 years he's great and after that he stinks, well, you letting them go and you're not taking any hit for it. That is going to bother me until they prove they have a real left tackle, that they did not just go all out for Nate Solder. It's going to bother me the whole time. Because everything rides on number four. And keeping him upright has to be job one. And giving him a running game has to be job two. I'm going to save getting worked up all of the Texans. Maybe for tomorrow night. That's going to do it for us for tonight. I want to say thanks to Jenny Dowell Creech of The Chronicle for joining us earlier today. Jose Partida on the other side of the glass. Dip it down the dial to our sister station 94.1 FM and join Jose and I for Straight Heat now to midnight. Have a great night, Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.